Happy Mother's Day to the mums. But, you know, I just think women in general are flipping awesome. Amen? Amen. All right, get myself sorted up here. I've got too many bits and pieces. Are we good? Yes? Excellent. Well, I'm going to bring you a message this morning called Nothing Wasted. Nothing Wasted. And funny story around nothing being wasted. Monday just gone. I had planned to have a day of just life administration and preparation, just spending time with Jesus and, you know, thinking about the week ahead and messages and yada yada, and woke up with a migraine and vomiting all day and in bed, and it was very special. Haven't had that since like September last year. I thought I was healed, so I'm like, come on God, what are you doing to me? But anyway, not that he causes these things, but you know, anyway, that's just another theological thing, or we won't go down there today. But it wasn't wasted, because even as I lay there in bed, I just said, okay Lord, well here I am, stuck in bed, so you speak to me and you minister to me. And it was just me and a day with the Lord and the toilet. So it was special, but it wasn't a day wasted. But I want to read to you today from the book of John. Who loves John? Actually, I'm going to pop this down here. John, the beloved, he claims to be one of Jesus' favorites. Anyone here claim to be one of Jesus' favorites? Yep, I love that. We all are, that's right. No favoritism. So we're reading John chapter 6, verse 1. It says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Can you imagine? Like, imagine you go to have your little picnic with your friends or your family, you know, a couple of mates sitting there, and you're kind of chatting, and you look up and there's just crowds. Like, they say 5,000 men were coming his way, like just looking up. I mean, Jesus knew it was going to happen anyway, but, you know, there are crowds and they're like, where are we going to get enough food to feed all of these people? All the mums would be like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? But so Philip says, yeah, half a year's wages to buy enough bread. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and he said, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves and left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is come to the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So we see here this incredible miracle, and then Jesus says at the end, he says, "Gather up all the broken pieces, gather up all the leftover bits and pieces so that nothing would be wasted." Now, I don't know about you and your family or your life or your dinner times, but I'm a bit of a leftover queen. Like, if there's leftovers, I'm like, let's pop that in a bowl, put a little bit of cling wrap over it. Although, you know, plastic these days, you're supposed to use other things, aren't you? Pop in a little container, put it in the fridge. Anyone else like that? Anyone put things in the fridge to save? Yes, let nothing be wasted. But then what happens in our household often is that slowly but surely those leftovers get pushed further and further and further to the back of the fridge, and every now and again there's this thing in me as the mom and woman of the house where I'm like, oh, peering in the fridge. I'm like, oh, I should do something about those things at the back there. Some, I should probably, you know, check what's going on back there. And I need to do a bit of a clean out. I need to get like all those leftovers and those wasted things now. I need to get it out, clear it out and, you know, deal with it basically. But, you know, I was thinking, like, sometimes I think our lives can be a little bit like that. Our hearts can be a little bit like that. That when we have things that don't go quite right in our lives, or when we're a little bit broken, or when things, situations happen that don't resolve the way that we want them to, or there's brokenness there, or there's hurt there, or there's just, you know, disappointment there, that sometimes with those things, we don't quite know what to do with them. So we kind of put them at the back of our heart, or we sort of put them away, you know, in the closet of too hard basket in our lives, and we just kind of leave them there. And I think if we're honest, there's probably something in all of our lives, if we really searched deep within and if we really looked into our hearts, where there's probably stuff in all of us that we have gone, that's too hard, it hurts too much, don't want to deal with that, it didn't end the way I wanted it to, so I don't quite know what to do with it, so I'm just going to leave it there, you know. And it starts to get a little bit, sometimes a little bit like those leftovers in the back of the fridge, and you sort of, you know, like, oh, I don't really want to touch it, I don't really want to deal with it, I don't really want to look at it because it's going to be pretty gross now, it's going to hurt too much, it's too much effort, it's too much pain. But, you know, this story that I read about Jesus, it shows us the heart of Jesus and the heart of the Father. His heart is that nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. And as I lay there feeling bleh on Monday, I felt God drop this word into my heart for this church, that, and for all of you here, that in your lives, God's desire is that nothing would be wasted. Not one single hard situation, not one single thing that you've done wrong, not one single thing that where you've stuffed up, not one single thing where someone's done something to you that you couldn't change or do anything about. Not, you know, those dreams. There are people here, I believe today, who've had dreams in their heart, things that they wanted to do, and it hasn't happened. It hasn't come to pass. And you wonder why, and you kind of have pushed that to the back because it's too hard to deal with. But God is saying to you today that I do not waste one day of your life. Nothing is wasted. And you know, God, He's not sitting up there going, oh, you know, they can suffer and I'll make that happen to them and la, la, la. Like, we live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world of sin. We live in a world where God, in His kindness, gave us free will. And sadly, we, you know, now all get to choose what our lives look like. We make choices every single day, day in and day out, about the things that we're going to do with our lives and how we live our lives and how we treat people. And because we're broken and because we're human, because we're sinful, really, humans, that we do make bad choices, and we do treat others unkindly, and we do have things happen to us that are not nice, right? But God in His kindness says that I want to turn all of it around for good. Every situation. And you know, sometimes you look and you go, but God, what good could possibly come out of this situation? I know, I've been there, and I've had stuff happen, and I've gone, God, I cannot resolve this. You know, I remember one time I was chatting with a counselor, a psychologist, because, you know, we were running a church, and sometimes the pastor needs a psychologist. But, you know, we'd gone through a whole heap of stuff, and I just felt like I needed some help. You know, obviously I'm going to God, but I felt like I needed someone to talk to and to really try and work some stuff through with. And I remember her saying to me, because there was some stuff that had happened to us, and I had done everything I could to try and fix it and resolve it and you know, taking blame for everything that we didn't even, you know, all sorts, right? But in the end, she said to me, she goes, you know, a piece of music, like you're listening to some music, and it kind of finishes on this note that's really weird, and it resolves on this note that you go, oh, oh, that sounded a bit strange. That's not quite how I thought that piece of music would finish. Like, I feel like it should finish on a nice, beautiful, calm note or a happy note kind of thing. And she said, sometimes relationships are like that. Sometimes life is like that. Sometimes situations are like that where it doesn't quite resolve the way that we thought it should, or it doesn't quite end or finish like with a nice note or like a nice kind of ending or a nice finish. Or, you know, you can try and do everything to fix that thing, but it still doesn't quite end the way that you would have liked it to end. But even in that case, God says, if you give it to me, I can do something with it. I can turn that thing around for good. He wants to use everything in our lives. He wants nothing to be wasted. Amen. He is a good, good God. And I love it. He says, pick up all the broken pieces. Pick up all the leftover pieces. And I want to ask you today, in your life, in your heart, what are the broken pieces? What are the leftover pieces? What are the situations that have happened? What are the dreams that are unfulfilled? What are those desires that you've had that it feels like it's like leftover pieces, because you're like, God, what was that? What is that? What do I do with this thing? And God is saying to you today, I want you to pick up all of those pieces and bring them to me so that nothing would be wasted in your life, because He can do something with it. He doesn't waste anything that happens to us. And I love it that God gets the glory in it all, right? It's all, yeah, He turns it around and He makes it good. Even though you think, how, God, how? But He does things in our heart and He helps us grow as a person. And ultimately, you know, like, I remember we had a family in our church in Penrith when we were pastoring, and the little girl had cancer. She was like 6 years old or something, and she ended up, for 4 years they fought and they battled and they worshipped, and she ended up passing away. And you just go, God, what is that? How do we reconcile this God? What do we do with this God? And you know, in this earth, in this broken world that we live in, we won't have the answers. We don't have the understanding. God's ways are higher than our ways. We cannot possibly understand. But, you know, I the most beautiful thing that I saw and watched and witnessed was this little girl's mum obviously grieving and walking through it, but then beginning to lift up her eyes, and she led worship. She would play the keyboard and she would sing, and she started to write songs of worship to Jesus. And like the beauty from ashes, yes, there's still grief. Yes, there's still brokenness. Yes, there's still a complete lack of understanding of why. But the beauty that rose from that woman's heart and that family, and you know, what God does in our character as we just go, God, in my grief and my pain and my sorrow, I don't understand it, but I choose to trust you, God. And something happens on the inside of us, because ultimately, God is not here. I mean, we're not here for God to just give us this like amazing like life where we look back and go, wow, everything was awesome and wonderful. Like, God wants to change us day by day more into the image of Jesus. And so in everything that we go through, in every brokenness, He doesn't cause it. He doesn't, like, it's not all this evil, horrible stuff from God. He's good. He is love. He cannot put evil upon you, right? But we live in brokenness. And so when we bring that brokenness to Him, He can do something with it. You want to read some verses out this morning? Ephesians 5:15-16 says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And I want to speak over you this morning and declare that in your life, God wants to redeem the time. God wants to redeem the time, and he can redeem the time, which basically means that, you know, you might feel like I've stuffed up. I haven't, you know, I didn't invest wisely and now look at my finances. I didn't do that course and so I haven't been able to live the life and the dream that I wanted. I messed up with this relationship. I've stuffed up here. I've made bad choices. I've done this or that. You might feel that about yourself and your past, right? But it's not finished yet. He's not finished yet. And God wants to redeem the time. And so what he's saying is, you know what? Acknowledge what's happened. Acknowledge that. Bring it to me. Repent and bring it to me. And I'm going to show you that not that is not wasted. It's not a wasted life. That from here onwards, if you walk wisely and you walk with God and you understand that he is in charge of our days, that he can redeem the time. And the days to come are going to be greater than the days that were behind you. The days to come are good days. There are amazing days ahead. Do you believe it? Do you believe it this morning? Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Isaiah 61. Let me just read that out. And see, this is talking about Jesus, right? He gets up and he prophesies this. He reads it out about himself, which is pretty awesome. Like, that's amazing, don't you think? That they've got these scrolls, this Torah that they've had for years, that the children of Israel, like, they would read it out in the temple, and then Jesus gets up and he's like, I am. Like, this is me. I think that would be really cool to just, like, stand up and read from this book that's been written, centuries ago, and you're like, this is actually about me. Yep. Okay, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And I don't know how you're feeling right now. I don't know what you've walked in with this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I prophesy over you this morning that because of Jesus, because of who he is and what he's done for us, that you can have a crown of beauty instead of ashes, that you can have the oil of joy poured out upon you instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Some of you this morning, perhaps you're feeling despair. Perhaps you're feeling that heaviness. This morning, God wants to take that heaviness and that despair off of you and put a garment of praise upon you, to put that garment of beauty and joy upon you, to comfort those who grieve and those who mourn. How good is our God? How good is our God? And I don't know about you, church, but I just think, I mean, there are things obviously that have happened in my life, and you know, the thing that I've really realized is that we can't, you know, sometimes you feel bad, like, about the stuff you've gone through, because you think, oh, it's nothing though compared to that person. You know, you think, oh, I shouldn't really be upset about this stuff that I've walked through because so-and-so had to go through all of that. But the thing is that for each of us, our pain and our grief and our brokenness, it's relative to you, right? It still affects you. It's still personal for you. So don't compare your grief to others. Like, understand that your grief is real and your brokenness is real and your sorrow is real, and it's okay to have those emotions and those feelings. But the thing I've realized about God is that no matter what happens and no matter what I face, like, his presence is enough for me. Like, he is so good. Like, when I come into the throne room in the presence of God and I sense that oil of joy come upon me and I sense the anointing and the touch and of Father God, and you sense his love, it's like all those things, they're still real, but it's like they kind of fade away, don't they? Like that old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim In the light of his glory and grace. Amen. Oh, he's good. He's so good. He's so good. Verse 7 of Isaiah 61 says this. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. You know, some of you might be feeling ashamed of what's happened in life, of what you've chosen, your actions. But I tell you what, God says, instead of your shame, you're going to receive a double portion of my joy, double portion of my blessing. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. You might be feeling disgraced about family stuff or your past or your choices. But God says you will receive a double inheritance. You will rejoice in your inheritance because of your inheritance in Him. Because of your inheritance in Christ. Like, that's what this scripture is talking about. That because of our inheritance in Christ, no matter what we do, no matter what we choose, He doesn't even remember it. He casts it into the sea. As far as the east is from the west, God does not remember it, because He loves you and He sees His Son Jesus when He looks at you. How amazing is that? So good. And you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Joel 2:25, God says, I will repay you for the years that the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. God says, I will repay you. I will restore the years that the locust has eaten, the things that the devil has tried to bring against you, the situations that the enemy has brought to try and rob and steal and kill and destroy. God says, I will restore those years. I will redeem the time. I will repay you. I will be your inheritance. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. If you bring it to Him, He'll turn it around for good. Amen. So, you know, I want to give you just really like three keys. The first thing is to acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Because like my fridge, I have to sometimes acknowledge it. I have to look inside there and go, yikes, what's back there? Ugh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go there. I don't know if I want to touch that. Sometimes our hearts are like that. Sometimes our lives are like that. I don't know if I can go there. I don't know, God. It's too hurtful. It's too painful. I don't know if I can bring it to you, God. But He is the great healer. He is the great physician. He is our comforter. He is our the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit, our helper, our advocate, our standby, our healer, our protector. And as we acknowledge it, because when it's hidden away, God can't do a lot with it. We have to bring it before Him and say, God, here it is. I acknowledge that. You know, and you know, even like, so for Tim and I, like, you kind of get to this stage in your life when you go, we have to acknowledge that we probably haven't been as wise with our finances as we should have been. Yeah, but you know what? It's not too late. It's never too late. Like, if we've still got breath in our lungs, it's not too late. Acknowledge it. What do you need to acknowledge this morning? Is it acknowledging that actually, yeah, I did have this dream that I haven't seen come to pass yet, and acknowledge that thing. Acknowledge it. Bring it. The second thing is repent. Repent. I think repentance is so precious and beautiful and wonderful. I used to think that repentance was like this dirty word, or like, you know, this thing for like the really, really, really bad people. But I've come to understand that repentance is this gift from God in His mercy, that we can come to Him and say, God, I probably didn't make great choices here. Or God, this thing was done to me, but you know what? Maybe there was some stuff that I didn't do right either. Or God, you know, our finances are in a mess, but God, we take responsibility for that. We probably maybe haven't stewarded things as You would have liked us to. Or God, you know, this relationship is in a mess, and I've played a part in that, God. It's acknowledging and it's repenting. You know, it's saying, God, I've probably tried to do this a little bit my own way rather than coming to you. And he's not up there going, oh, do you think? About time you came to me. He's like, oh, I love you. I want to help you with this thing. So acknowledge it and then repent. And then third, cast your cares upon him. Like, give it to him. Give it to him. So you acknowledge it and you repent. You're like, God, I'm sorry for that and my part in that and what I've done with that situation. And then thirdly, give it to him. Give it to him. Give it to him. Like those leftovers where I like throw it in the bin, right? You need to throw that thing upon God. Cast your cares. 1 Peter 5:7. It says to cast your cares and your burdens upon him because he cares for you. He is not going, yes, you did. You really stuffed that up. Like, it's about time you realized it. That God is not like that. He is our Father. And you know, the problem again is that we live in this broken world. So our understanding often or sometimes of what a father should be or what a mother should be is so messed up sometimes because we maybe haven't had that relationship and we've had that a broken human father or whatever, right? And so we have this messed up thing, but God the Father, our Heavenly Father, he is love. He is perfect. There is not a single bit of evil in him. He is love. He is incredible and he loves you. You are his son. You are his daughter this morning. And so he is not going, you know, yes, you did stuff it up. Thank you for finally admitting that. Like I might sometimes say to my kids, whoops. You know, but he is like going, yes, cast it upon me. Throw it up to me. Like throw it upon me for I care for you and I want to help you with this situation. You know, when we acknowledge that there's stuff there and we repent before God and we throw it to him, we cast it to him, he can take that thing and he can turn it around for good and he can use it. And what he wants to do, you know, maybe it's relationship breakdown or different stuff in our life, situations. God wants to start to give you keys and he wants to, his Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you and give you wisdom on how to walk from here onwards, on what to do with that thing, on how to repair or how to restore. God wants to give you keys for the future, keys for your days ahead. Amen? Do you believe that? Jeremiah 30 says, if you call to him, he has great and unsearchable things to tell us. You know, we don't have to live this life on our own. Call to him. Say, God, help me. Give me wisdom on how to walk out my days. That verse I read, live circumspectly, not as fools, but with wisdom. Where do we get wisdom from? From him, from God. It says in James, if you lack wisdom, to ask him for it. So if you don't know what to do with that situation, you don't know what to do with that brokenness, you know, acknowledge it's there. Apologize and repent to the Lord for your part in it. Cast it upon him and then say, God, give me wisdom on how to walk from here. Give me wisdom, God, on what to do with that situation from here. God, give me wisdom on how to walk from here. Amen? Beautiful. The thing that I also want to point out to you is that right at the start of that story in John, Andrew says to Jesus, he says, well, Jesus, we've got this boy here who's got, you know, a little bit of food, but what good is that with all these people? But you know what I love? Andrew said, like, even though it was only a small little amount, he was like, well, this is what we've got. I don't know what you can do with this, but, you know, you can have it. Imagine if he didn't. Imagine if the boy didn't offer up his lunch. Imagine if they didn't go, oh, Jesus, like, I guess we could do something with this. They might have missed a miracle. And some of you here, you're sitting here and you're like, well, I've only got this little thing. God, I've only got this small thing to offer. Or I feel like I'm not much, God. You know, my life is not much, God. You know, I don't have much to offer you. I don't have much to give you, you know. But imagine if we don't give it to him, we could miss an incredible miracle. But if you do offer it to him, what could he do with it? What could God do with your life? What could God do with that brokenness that you hand to Him? What could God do with that shame that you say, God, I'm not going to hold on to it anymore. I'm giving it to you. What could God do with that dream that you've been hanging on to and hoping, but God says, but you give it to Him? What could God do with that little bit of finance that you feel like you got to keep it to yourself, but you say, actually, God, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to give it, or I'm going to invest it, or I'm going to do something with it. What could God do with the little that we feel like we have? Don't miss the miracle by holding on to something because you think it's not much, or it's not worth much, or it's just something small. There's a miracle waiting to happen. There's a miracle in your heart waiting to happen. There's a miracle in your life waiting to happen. There's a miracle waiting in this community in Jesus' name. You know, I truly believe that even this church right here, you know, Lord, just keep on saying, God, with the little that we have, with who we are and what we have and what we bring, God, we give it to you. We offer it to you. What could God do? What could God do in this space with these people, in this community? What could God do? Don't miss the miracle in Jesus' name. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted when we bring it to Him. He wants to do something with it. And I just feel to read some scriptures over you, because I know sometimes we can start to think, yeah, but God, I really stuffed up that one. I really made a mess of that. But I want you to hear this morning as we finish up with all this scripture. Ready? You ready? Strapped in? Listening ears on, as I say to my kids. Psalm 13. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Jeremiah 1:34 and Hebrews 8:12, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. God forgives your wickedness. He forgives our sins and He remembers them no more because of what Jesus has done for us. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Micah 7:19, you will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. How good is our God? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your work on the cross. And you know, ultimately, church, like I said, we live in a broken world. We are all broken. We are human. We are all sinners. And we are in need of grace. We are in need of a Savior. And many of you here have invited Jesus into your life. Jesus Christ, who came, He was the perfect Lamb of God. He was without sin. And He sacrificed. He gave up His life on the cross as a sacrifice for your life and for mine, for our sin. He gave up His life and he conquered sin. He conquered death. He was the perfect Lamb of God, the sacrifice that took away the sins of the world. Thank you, Jesus. And many of you have acknowledged that. And you know, Romans says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you are saved. That you are saved. How good is our God? And you know, our world is so desperately in need of this Savior, but we cannot forget that Jesus, I am desperately in need of a Savior. That I am broken. I am a sinner, but because of Jesus, I have forgiveness from my sins. I am covered by His grace and His mercy. And I want to ask you this morning, maybe with every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, Do you know Jesus? Is Jesus your Lord and your Savior? Like I said, we all have sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. None of us is good enough to enter into God's presence, but God so desperately wants relationship with us that He sent Jesus to pay the price and to cover our sin. And now we can freely and boldly enter the presence and the throne room of God. What an awesome, incredible honor it is. And so this morning I want to ask you, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Have you made that decision to say, yes, Jesus, I want to ask you into my life. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you are Lord, and I confess that with my mouth, and I'm sorry for my sin. Have you said that? Have you made that decision in your life today? Because if you haven't, friend, I want to tell you that our days are short. We do not know what time we have left on this earth. And I would encourage you, don't walk out the door today without knowing that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, that you have eternal life in heaven with Him forever and relationship with Jesus here on this earth. So is there anyone here today and you say, yes, Jody, I need to ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I want to give my life to Him this morning. Who is there this morning? Just lift your hand, give me a wave if that's you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Who else is there this morning? You say, I need Jesus. I want to give my life to Him. On this Mother's Day, hand my life to Jesus. Awesome. Well, why don't we all say this prayer together? And you know, ultimately, the Bible doesn't say anything about lifting your hand in church to accept Jesus. It doesn't say about praying a prayer altogether. But really what this is, like I said, it's acknowledging in your heart that Jesus, you are Lord. And I want to confess my sins and I want to ask you into my life. And it's acknowledging that and confessing it out loud. And the Bible says you are saved when you do that. So why don't we all pray together? Father God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I ask for your forgiveness. And I thank you that I receive it. That you do not remember my sins because you see your son, Jesus. I confess this morning that Jesus is Lord and I invite you, Jesus, into my heart, into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Help me to get to know you, to truly love you, to walk with you all my days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. You know, guys, if we can just put maybe that Jesus, what a beautiful name, put that song on at the back. And what I want to do this morning is I just really, just in like the last couple of minutes, I just want us to take a moment to respond in our hearts to that message. Because I think, you know, I'm a big believer that I don't like just coming in and hearing a message and going, oh, that was great, and then walking out and whatever. But I want to respond in my heart. Like I think when the word of God is delivered, there should be a response to that. And so I want to ask you this morning, for you, what is it in your life? What is it in your heart that maybe you've kind of pushed to the side or shoved to the back, or, you know, that this morning you just want to say, God, I actually just want to acknowledge that there's this thing in my life. There's been some brokenness, or there's been some disappointment, or there's been some offense. Maybe it's forgiveness today that God wants to help you as you throw that upon Him. He wants to help you forgive those people that hurt you, or maybe forgive yourself for the choices that you made, the decisions that you made. What is it for you this morning, for every single one of us? So why don't we just close our eyes and just take a moment. Father, I ask you right now to come and reveal to each and every one of us, what is it in our heart and our life, God, that you declare over us that nothing is wasted, that situation that took place, it is not wasted. I'm going to turn it into good. That choice that you made, it is not a waste. I'm going to turn it around for good. This morning, those decisions or the wisdom or whatever that you walked in, that you think it was a waste of years, you think it was a waste of time, but God says, give it to me this morning. Cast it upon me this morning, for nothing shall be wasted. This morning, what is it in your life? Father, reveal to us in each of our hearts, in each of our lives. What is it, God, this morning that you declare and you speak over us? It shall not be a waste. It shall not be wasted years. They shall not be wasted years, wasted moments. Thank you, Jesus. Kurama sidiana, kure bibibia, shiriara kurama mama, shiama mama. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Kure bibibiara, shiriara kure mimimia. Some of you, even now, you've got those situations playing through your mind of bad choices that you made, areas that you've stuffed up in, things, decisions. And God says, enough, enough, enough. Nothing shall be wasted. He says, give it to me this morning. He says, come before me. Acknowledge that thing. Repent of that thing and cast it upon me. Throw it upon me because I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to use it for good in Jesus' mighty name. Many of you here, you're going to be able to help others with stuff that they're walking through because of what you've walked through. I thank you, Father God, that you're going to redeem the time, Lord. You're going to redeem the time in people's finances this morning. You're going to redeem the time, God, in people's relationships this morning. You're going to redeem the time, God, in the years that people feel like they've wasted. But God, you say nothing is wasted in Jesus' mighty name. For you are our great Redeemer, God. You are our great restorer, God. You are the mighty restorer. You restore hearts. You restore lives. You restore situations. You restore us in Jesus' mighty name. He wants to come right now. Just allow his presence to come and touch you and fill you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kurama sidiana, kure bibibia, shiriara kure bibibia, shiama mama, kurama siana, kure bibibia. Oh, Father, I pray this morning, take off the heaviness, God. Take off the heaviness, Lord, the despair, God, the discouragement, God. And Lord, this morning, give him a garment of praise, Lord. The oil of joy, pour out the oil of joy upon him in Jesus' name. Oh, Shiriana, Kure, Bibibia, Siama, Mama. I pray, God, that he would walk out of this place, Lord, with a lightness, God, because your yoke is easy and your burdens are light and you care for us, Father. And I thank you that you are a good, good God. You are a good, good God. Kurama Siriara, you are a good Father. Thank you that you are a good Father. Kurama Sidiana, Kure, Bibia. And I believe God would say that to you too. You are a good dad. You're a good dad. Thank you, Jesus. Like, I feel like there's been things that you've been struggling with, things that have been weighing heavy on your mind. And this morning, God wants to lift the burdens, lift the burdens, lift it off of your shoulders. He wants to give you peace. Lord, I thank you for peace, God. I thank you for wisdom, Father. God, when he doesn't know what to do, Lord, give him wisdom. Lord, I pray, show him the steps that he is to take. Show him the path that he is to walk, Lord God. Kurabasidiana, kure bibia. For his word is a light to your path and a lamp to your feet. And Father, I pray, help him to show him, God, each step to take. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you, God, that where there's been chaos and a lack of clarity, that you would bring clarity, God. Lord, that you would calm the chaos, Father, that you would bring peace amongst the storm. And God, show him the way to walk. And I pray, Lord, take the burden off of his shoulders in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Why don't you just lift your hands right now to God, every single person. Lift your hands to him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a moment. Breathe in his presence. Oh, you're so good, Lord. So good, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Nothing is wasted. When you give it to Him, nothing is wasted.